ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. It is August the 5th, and, you know, ordinarily we'd be just a few days away from school starting, but I think that has been kicked back till later on in the month. They're still working the kinks out of their system and everything like that. But don't let that stop you from praying for our kids, that they will have a safe, a healthy school year, and that they will learn that they are valuable in God's sight, that they are precious, that God has a plan for their life. And, you know, just pray for the teachers as well. I mean, nobody expected last school year to end the way that it did. And so let's pray that this school year goes better than what last year's ended. So today I want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. If you're wondering how to spell that is W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They have been there for over 40 years, blessing Brevard County with their services. So they have been providing professional sales services and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. And they work in residential and commercial settings, provide emergency service when necessary, and they always strive to provide you with the best service at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call at 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. I was talking to Dennis here a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling that a lot of people have been having problems with air conditioners and been having new units that needed to be installed, and that it has just been very, very busy. And so if you even think that your air conditioner is getting close to the end of its life, you might want to give them a call, have them come out, take a look at it, and see if you're going to need a new unit. And if you are, get that scheduled, because it could be a few days before they get out there, and you don't want to have to be suffering in the heat during that time. 321-632-9538 will get you in touch with Wyrick Air in Rockledge. They travel throughout the entire county, work on every type of system that you can think of, and they are really, really good at it. 321-632-9538. And if you have electrical issues, you know, this is also the time of year where we get a lot of lightning and things like that. And if something goes south on that, give them a call. They can come and solve those electrical issues. They have worked on our electrical needs for years and years and years. 321-632-9538. So I want to take you back to John, the 7th chapter today. John, the 7th chapter. Yesterday we were talking about the word of Jesus, and we morphed over here into this passage to begin to talk about doctrine. Doctrine is not a bad word, but it is something that we need to properly understand. We need to understand that not everyone's opinion rises to the level of doctrine. It is sound truth. It is truth that lines up with the Word of God. It's truth that lines up with the Word of God. And so we need to anchor every belief that we have on the Word of God. Now, I have been Assemblies of God for most of my life. I know a lot of people that I grew up with, and their doctrine changed, so they left the Assemblies of God, and I still have fellowship with them. It's there's, you know, the understanding that we have of who Jesus is. hasn't changed. There were some other things that have, but some of those people are doing incredible works for God, and for that we celebrate and we rejoice. Doctrine is not something that is supposed to be divisive. It is the thing that unites us around the throne of Jesus. Not every doctrine comes from God. And so Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. This is John 7:16. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? So today, rather than looking at, you know, each and every doctrine per se, I want to teach you what the Word of God says is the proper way to discern whether a doctrine is from God or whether it is not. In, the New Testament, we are told that we are supposed to have the gift of discernment, that we're supposed to try the spirits to see if they are of God. We're supposed to evaluate the Word of God. When Paul went and taught in Berea, they took his teaching and they took it to the Word of God and they evaluated it to see if it was true. That's a great, great process for us to operate by. Not about how does this impact little Johnny over here. Johnny doesn't believe this. Johnny acts in a way that is contrary to this, but I really love Johnny, and so I want to adapt my beliefs to what the Word of God says, and that's just not the way, the proper way, the biblical way to handle doctrine. We have to handle the Word of God. We have to rightly divide it. We have to study the Word of God, and we need to embrace it. So I want to go through this passage. I don't want to tell you necessarily what to think. I want to share with you what Jesus says on how to process doctrine. The scripture is very clear that there is always an attempt of the enemy to infiltrate the body of Christ and sow seeds of heresy, things that do not line up with the Word of God. It might have an element of the truth in it, but it doesn't have the substance of the truth with it. It's got deception in there, and its intent is to make the body of Christ, the sheep, vulnerable to vicious wolves that would desire to come into the house of God and victimize people that Jesus wants to empower by the grace of God. Okay, so you can see that in the New Testament. So you always have to be on alert, you know. And that doesn't mean that if somebody shares something and they might share their opinion. I've got some things. For instance, the scripture says that the veil when Jesus was crucified was torn. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And I absolutely believe that. As I've studied that, I believe, and I don't have scriptural support to define this as definitive truth, so it is not doctrine, it is my opinion. I happen to believe that it was torn from the inside out. It was God who tore the temple. The veil in the temple was rent in two, so that we could have access to the Holy of Holies. It was God who was on the inside making a way for us on the outside to get, but that is not doctrine, that's opinion. And so a lot of times if people happen to share their personal opinion, you can take that opinion for what it's worth. You can take what I shared with you and you can discard it and it doesn't hurt my feelings. You can embrace it. It doesn't bolster me or anything like that. It's not doctrine, it's opinion. The doctrine is the veil was torn from top to bottom and that the old barriers had thus been taken away and that now we had access not just to God once a year as in the old covenant, but we had access to God on a continuous basis. So in today's day and time, there is tremendous pressure that is being put upon people, not on how to process thought, but on what to think. On what to think. And so there is a mob mentality that says, this is what you have to think. And if you do not think this way, then we are going to curse you. We're going to attack you. We're going to persecute you. We're going to overpower you because we cannot tolerate anybody thinking differently than what we think. Well, they tried to do the same thing with Joshua and Caleb when they brought back a good report out of the Promised Land, and the other spies brought back a negative report. They didn't want to hear that. Well, God is not influenced by the mob. God always stands for truth. So I don't want to tell you what to think. I want to teach you how to think so that you can process, so that you can make the decision. My favorite professor in college wasn't one that only taught me one view of a particular theological concept. He presented to us as many views as were out there. He presented them and said, here is the pro position, here's the con. You decide which one. And so I remember that there was a test question, or maybe it was just a study guide question, and they said, there are two views concerning this. There's view A and there is view B. And which one do you fall into? And so I said, well, I tell you, you know, I understand what they're saying in this view over here, but this view is the one that I embrace because the Word of God says that God is able to distinguish between the two. So they can't be the same if God is able to discern which one is A and which one is B. He is able to make. So I'm going to embrace this view over here because it lined up with the Word of God. That doesn't mean that I get upset at the people who had the opposing view. There's people that embrace that. They love Jesus. One of the silliest arguments, I think, that people love to have debate on is what does the end time look like? What does the end time timeline look like? So you have pre-tribulationist, you have mid-tribulationist, and you got post-tribulationist. And, you know, a lot of people want to argue about all of those things. I know a person that was the number one thing that he loved to discuss. He has been dead for a number of years, a long, long time. And you know what doctrine matters absolutely nothing to him at this point in time, whether it's pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, or post-trib rapture. You know what doctrine was very important? Having asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins, be the Lord of his life, and that he was going to write his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was going to come and they were going to have fellowship together. That was what was really important. I tell people, when it comes to that doctrine, it doesn't matter whether you believe it. It's going to happen when God says it's going to happen. And nobody is going to be taunting. No one is going to be high-fiving on the way up to heaven when the rapture does take place and say, I was right. You were wrong. Na, 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 na. Nobody's going to be doing that. You know why? Because we're going to be rejoicing that all of our problems are past, and reconciliation with God has taken place. And so we're going to be with him forever. Now, I do believe that there are some ministry ramifications that take place here and now that are involved in the timing of the rapture. So I think if you understand that Jesus could come at any moment, you're going to be highly motivated to having your heart right with God, being extremely motivated to make sure your family is right with God, and because you love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to want them to be right with God. I think there's some serious motivation there. I also, because of some of the things in the Word of God and the fact that the Pharisees knew the Word better than anybody else on the planet, and they missed the manifestation of Jesus. They missed God's timeline in their own lives and found themselves opposing God's kingdom moving forward. I think that it is very important for us to remain humble when it comes to these doctrines that may or may not be anything more than just our personal preference. So we want the doctrine of God. So Jesus says, "My doctrine is not mine, but it is His who sent me." So He says, this is not my personal opinion. This is from God. That means it is not up for debate. It is not up for a popular vote. It is not up for a vote of the Electoral College. It's not up for a Supreme Court decision. It is not up to the United Nations, and it's not up to any individual. This is the doctrine of God. And He says, this is how you begin to process doctrine. If anyone wills to do the will of God, if anyone wills to do His will. So our understanding, acceptance, and application of the doctrine of God has a great deal to do with the will, the personal choice that we have, the free will that God has employed us with, to bring that in alignment to the will of God and say, I want to do God's will. The reason that we have the book of Esther is because Esther came to that place where she said, if I perish, I perish. I've come to this position in my life for such a time as this, and if I perish, I perish. Everyone who comes to that place that says, you know what? He must increase, I must decrease. Pray as Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. When you come to that place where your will is ready to accept the doctrine of God and say, I am going to employ this in my life, you had better get ready for breakthrough. Because that is absolutely critical mass when it comes to something supernatural taking place in a person's life. Okay? If you look, a lot of times we have disagreements with one another, and it's because I have an opinion, you've got an opinion, I've got a will, you've got a will, and I want to do my will and you want to do your will. But if we both come to that point and say, what is God's will in this situation? And let's do that. Let's not just recognize there's option A and option B. Let's choose option best. And that's the will of God. So whenever we say, God, we want your will in this situation, all of a sudden it causes us to understand the teaching of God better than we have ever understood it before. Okay, in verse number 17, it continues, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. So when you have your will come under alignment to God's will, and you begin to understand the doctrine that is being discussed, now you have to ask yourself, what is the source of this doctrine? Is this doctrine from God, or is this a self-authorized teaching? Is this something from God, or is this something that is coming from this person over here? The Bible talks about there were prophets who prophesied out of their own spirit. Well, the problem for the people was when the prophets were prophesying out of their own spirit, they were saying, thus saith the Lord. And God said, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You prophesied out of your own spirit, and a prophecy out of our own spirit, a teaching from our own self-appointed authority, does not carry the same weight as a thus saith the Lord from the throne room of heaven. So we have to recognize that. I will tell you that I find self-appointed authority to be very dangerous. In the assemblies of God, there is no one, let me repeat that again, there is no one in our entire fellowship, not just our church, but on our entire fellowship, that does not have authority over them. I'll say that again. Everyone is under authority. In our history, we have had the most, the highest elected officer in our fellowship, who's called the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God. We have had general superintendents removed from office because of doctrinal error. I'll just be honest with you. They embraced something doctrinally that wasn't true, but they repented of that, came back into alignment with biblical teaching, and they were reinstated back to their previous position. They were elected back into office again. So there is no one. Everybody should be blessed with an authoritative covering in their life. I've got authorities over me that I know they're not there to overpower me or mandate or dictate to me. They are there as a blessing of God in my life to provide protection and covering for me, to impart wisdom to me, and I recognize them as the gift of God. So whenever you hear a teaching, and I do this, whenever the Holy Spirit speaks something to me about the Word of God, and it's something that I have never heard before, never seen before, never heard anybody else explain that passage that way, one of the first things that I do is, after I pray about it, is I begin to call some ministers that I know that are smarter than I am. And I say, this is what I see in this passage. Tell me, am I right? Or did I have a bad bout of pizza last night? And I don't eat a lot of pizza, so don't worry about that. I want to make sure that the things that I teach, that the words I proclaim, that they're not coming from the heart of Bob. I want them to be coming from the throne room of God. Okay. It says here in verse number 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. So this is much like we talked about with John the Baptist. They came and they said, people are leaving you and they're going and following Jesus. And John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. There are a lot of people who are looking to make a name for themselves instead of exalting the name of Jesus. And so you have to be careful. Paul said that there were people who preached Jesus out of goodwill, and there were some who preached Jesus out of selfish ambition. And he said, nevertheless, I rejoice that Christ is being preached. So a lot of times people come to me and they will, not a lot of times, but there are many occasions where people have come to me and they said, what about this person here? And here is my answer. You know, I do not have jurisdiction over that person's life. Every person that is a judge has a jurisdiction. And just because a person presents an argument does not mean that I have to embrace that. I've got to wait. I've got to evaluate both sides of the case. I've got to evaluate by the word of God. And I say, God, what is your decision in this matter? And then I act upon that. There are some people who like to argue simply for arguing's sake. I don't like to do that. I am a pastor. I know theology. I'm not a theologian. I have not studied every minute ramification of every theological doctrine that has ever been conceived in the heart of man. But I do know the Word of God. I know where to go to find answers. But the one thing that I don't enjoy doing is arguing just for arguing's sake. I'm not interested in having anybody say, you're right, I'm wrong. Nor am I interested in saying to somebody else, you're right, I'm wrong. I'm not afraid to say that I'm wrong. One of my favorite lines is, that's the first time I've been wrong since the last time. And I've been wrong before, and I will probably be wrong again. I've apologized to my kids whenever I made a mistake parenting. And you know, if I share something and it doesn't come across exactly right, I'm more than willing to apologize for inabilities in communicating and say, you know what, I didn't get that exactly right. It's not a pride thing. It's a humility thing. It's, I want to see Jesus glorified. Okay? So he says, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. So it's almost like the Solomon decision, where if there's a person that's wanting to see the baby killed just because they'll suffer loss and the other person will suffer loss, and the other person says, you know what, you just let the baby live, let them take care of the baby, I just want to see the baby live. Solomon says, that's the one who's got the right motive. And no unrighteousness is in him. No unrighteousness is in him. I can tell you this. The one thing you will never hear God say is you will never hear him say, I was wrong. You'll also never hear him say, you know what? You've got a better idea than what I've got. There's never going to be a new and improved version of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to share with you. You might want to highlight the passage that we've been talking about, John 7, 16 through 18 there, and say, God, would you teach me how to process the Word of God? Because I want to rightly divide the Word of truth. I want to show that I don't need to be ashamed about the way that I handle your Word. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This is all that I can. can say right now, and this is all that